Morning, church. Welcome back to St. John's on the Web. You see, Brian and I are here today. Mary is quarantining for a few days. It seems as though perhaps she's had a little bit of contact with someone who may have had contact. So out of an abundance of caution, Mary's taking the bench this week, and Brian and I will be leading your worship today and engaging each other in a discussion around the sermon as we did last week. Really happy that you're here. I know that some of you had a little bit trouble getting started last week. We're working out these kinks. I hope that the instructions that you received in the email gave you a sense of how this works on the web. Your feedback is really valuable, so don't hesitate to send us an email. Let us know how we can make this easier for you at home as you practice social distancing, and hopefully you're having some good time of connecting with your families as well. I do want to report to you that we're doing a great job at raising resource for the Community Foundation's fund that 122 is administering. We're well on our way to our $100,000 match. If you haven't had an opportunity to give to that yet, and you have the resource to do so, you can find an option on our website to make a commitment. I would also just say, just like all of us are trying to keep our businesses up and running, if you have the resource and you have the opportunity to continue to pay your pledge here at St. John's, help us keep the lights on and everyone employed, we would be grateful for that. So many of you have already done that, and I just want to express my sincere thanks for all that all of you are doing. I know these are tough times, and they are fraught with a real measure of anxiety. So I'm grateful for all that you're doing, and if you need anything from us, I would ask you that you would reach out, either call the office or shoot us an email, and we'll respond to your need as quickly as we can. We'll begin our service with the ringing of a bell and a little quiet. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole, so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love. Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy, and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves, and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll recite Psalm 130 together. Out of the depths I have called to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voices of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to know what is done in the midst, O Lord, who could stand? For there is forgiveness with you. Therefore you shall be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for him. In his word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. With him there is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. As tempting as it is to preach on that Lazarus sermon, especially I love that passage where it says, like, you know, don't open the tomb. He's been in there 4 days. It stinks. And I'm thinking about, like, our own house right now. We've been cooped up in the house. It's still winter. The windows are still closed. Like, the dog's there. We're all there. And the house is getting a bit stinky, too, I think. But there is just absolutely no way I can resist this Ezekiel story. It's one of the most beautiful and strange stories in all of the biblical narrative, I think. And I, in order for us to get grounded, I want to give us a little bit of history and then a little bit of the literary context as well. So this is written after the second exile. So Israel has been conquered a second time by the Babylonians, and they've been dispersed. Israel has already seen that the first wave of people that were moved out of Jerusalem have assimilated into Babylonian culture. There's a real measure of hopelessness there, historically, of like, no, we're supposed to stick together. And so it's happened a second time. The Babylonians have not just moved them out, but they have destroyed the temple. Mm-hmm. They've leveled that holy site that's so important for Israel, and they're pushed out. And so they're is this hopelessness that is just saturating all of the people of Israel who are in exile. That's the historical context. The literary context, which plays to the passage that we have a bit, is that the writers, the artists, the poets, the troubadours, the song makers and singers have attached themselves literarily to this symbol of bones. Mm-hmm. That in fact the people are dead. Mm-hmm. And there's a twist as they become more invested in this idea. It's not just bones, but it's dry bones. It's bones that have been laying fallow for a long, long time. So there's this extra measure of hopelessness, and the art that, as we know, art imitates life, and the art that is coming out of the exiled people is this lament around dry bones. And so Ezekiel, the prophet, comes in to speak to Israel in their hopelessness. and has this prophecy of God, you know, picking up a human being and taking him to this valley of not just bones, but dry bones. And then there's a series of questions and back and forth actions between this human being and God. But that first question is the one that I just love. Like, mortal human being, tell me, can these bones live? I was wondering what you were thinking about that line. Like, can these bones live?
If I were that mortal and God were asking me that, I would probably say, no.
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, what are we doing here?
Exactly. I mean, and it's such a wild vision, isn't it? I hadn't really thought about this until you were describing the dry bones, but they're also scattered.
Yeah.
Right? And it makes me think of hiking in the backcountry in the Tetons and coming upon the carcass or the bones of an elk or a deer that had died a year or two before, and they're never all in one pile, and they never make any sense. There's one over here and there's one over here.
Yeah, skull, they've been picked apart.
They've been picked apart, and that's sort of the vision that I get when I hear this reading. And I love that. Mortal, can these bones live? And then the prophet says, he doesn't say yes or no. He says, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Lord.
Yeah.
And then God starts gathering the bones together. And I love it. Bone on bone. Bone finds its place, its rightful place. And then not only bones, but then next sinew.
Yeah.
And muscle and skin, and things are fleshed out.
Yeah.
And then breathed into.
And there's this movement that happens in the story where you do get that, like, well, you know, that and we have that human tendency, right, to toss the ball back to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, you do it, God. But God continues to involve the human in the reconstruction of the people.
Yep.
And then it's in that, it's not that, it doesn't say like it says in Genesis, that God breathes breath into the dust and it becomes human.
It's prophesied.
Yeah, but you do it.
Yeah.
You know, you, human being, you prophesy. And it's this magnificent, co-creative moment. And I wonder when they heard it back in the day, if they were like, oh my gosh, mind blown.
Yeah.
What? We thought that we just followed you around
and that you
just
did all the
follow all the rules.
And you do all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But this gives us a very different vision about the relationship between God and humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And the awesome power and privilege, but also the responsibility of breathing life, bringing hope back into God's people. That takes me to Jackson 2020 and our church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not sitting back and waiting for that bolt of lightning or something. I think we know. Like, okay, prophesy to these bones. Like, how do we do that? Well, maybe we take some food to those who are social distancing, safeguarding in their own homes so that they are not sick and so that the problem doesn't scale and become unmanageable for us here. Maybe we take out our checkbooks or get on the internet and give a little money to these funds that are helping people. I mean, there's so many different ways.
Yeah, maybe we call our family who is at a distance, and I've talked to several people recently who have connected with people they haven't talked to for maybe 2 years, maybe 10 years. And that's a way of doing God's work in the world.
I love that.
Yeah.
So here we are, church. We're trying to put the puzzle back together, so to speak.
Bone on bone.
Bone on bone, flesh on flesh. The pieces have been scattered in this completely unusual and extraordinary time of global pandemic. Here we are sitting in a chair filming rather than sitting in front of you, who we love and adore. But I suppose we can love and adore each other from afar.
Yeah, I think that's what we're called to do these days, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. If y'all have any ideas about that, about how it might be done better or might be done more comprehensively, reach out, give us a buzz, shoot us an email, text us, send us a Facebook message, whatever, you know, smoke signals, carrier pigeon, whatever it takes. Get the word to us somehow, and we'll find a way to co-create with you as you shelter in place, just as God is co-creating with all of us still today.
Yeah, and keep your vision sharp. Yeah. Put those glasses on one more time.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're at home and you're wondering where this liturgy comes from, before I introduce this Christian affirmation in a time of uncertainty, I would just direct you back to our website. All the liturgy is in a downloadable PDF on our website. It's easy for you to download that, and then you can follow along and read together with us at home. So let's say together the Christian affirmation in a time of uncertainty. We believe in God the Creator, who reminds us in the drawing of every new day that new life is possible. We believe in the wonder and grandeur of the universe, where the whole of life is called to live in harmony of care. We believe in Jesus Christ, who prayed in the mountains of peace and brought us the word in mustard seeds and fig trees of blessings, whose footsteps touch the earth in love, and who invites us to follow. We believe in the Holy Spirit, whose wisdom often lies embedded in ancient peoples. They trod lightly across deserts and lived gently among plants and creatures. They reached respectfully for the mystery, which is God with us, the one who never leaves us or forsakes us. We believe in the everlasting hope, the great calling of the people of God, the Church, for the transforming of all things, which is possible in God. Amen.
Yeah.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. In this time of confusion, vulnerability, and uncertainty, let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That our spiritual leaders may serve your people in ways that demonstrate your love and healing, let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That the leaders of this nation and all others in authority may be guided by your wisdom and find strength and courage to know and accomplish your purposes in the midst of these troubling times, let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That all peoples of the earth, especially the most vulnerable among us, be kept safe, let us pray to God. For the special needs of our congregation, especially for Jacques, Addison, Bobby, Alex, Mark, Eric, Paul, Rebecca, Stan, Sylvia, Megan, Warren, Melissa, Blair, Bert, Gail, Pat, Jeff, Amy, Michael, Silas, Robin, Anne Marie, Ned, Kip, Mary, Mark, Julie, Will, Tony, John, Roy, Jim, Rob, Kelly, Sue, Cora, Susie, Stephen, Mary, Russell, Nikki, Sarah, Jean, Anne, Cindy, and those we now name. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we, your people, may find joy in compassion and unity. That we may find new ways to connect and to love one another. Let us pray to God. In thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays, Tinsley, Van, CJ, Colton, Chuck, Alexandra, Evan, Elizabeth, Brad, John, Tom, Cannon, Don, Martha, Grace, Whitney, and those celebrating anniversaries, Tim and Sean, Tom and Chris, Tim and Carol, Hanley and Lindy. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we may have patience as your work unfolds in the world. That we do not fall into despair, but rise in hope, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That those who have died may find peace and joy among the communion of saints, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer. God, whose vision spans all the ages of the earth, help us to see beyond this moment and to embrace the wider perspective of your whole creation. Deliver us from fear and lead us into a way of love and justice that makes room for all peoples. Send your spirit among us, that we may know the healing power of your love. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus, the reconciler of the world. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you today and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I invite you to exchange the peace safely with those you're distancing with or quarantining with. Thanks for being a part of our online worship. We'll see you next week if we don't see you sooner. Adios.